encouraged that everyone here decided to come out. And I trust that you're here because you want to please the Lord, and that encourages me very much. This is like our battle station where we come to and we equip ourselves for the week to go out into the world and wrestle against the enemy with the Lord's strength. So I hope we be equipped tonight. Let us read in a few passages. We're going to start by reading in Colossians. Tonight we're going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm only going to read for about 3 to 4 minutes, so it's a few passages. Just trust that you'll pay attention and listen intently. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made minister. Chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Philippians chapter 2, start at the end of verse 5. Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verses 17 to 29. Jesus answered them, My Father works hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, that the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. Let's pray. Our God, our gracious Lord and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that we would hear from you tonight, each one. We would hear a word from you. Father, I pray your Spirit would lead and ask your help. For I am weak, Lord, and without you, I can do nothing. So I give you thanks for this time. Thank you for everyone out. I pray you'd bless each one in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who do you say Jesus Christ is? Is he just a man to you? Is he God? Is he a prophet? Is he an angel? Jesus would ask this question to his disciples. He would ask it in Matthew chapter 16. He would bring his disciples to a private location. He would ask them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So he would ask his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And if the Son of Man can refer to one of two things, it can just refer to being just a human being, but it also can refer to the Son of Man, the title of the Son of Man, which is given in Daniel chapter 7 in the Old Testament, the Son of Man who will receive God's universal reign, the Son of Man who would also be the Son of God. So Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And as you think about people you work with, people you come across, who do they say the Son of Man is? Was he just a man, or was he the Son of Man who is the Son of God? Of course, the people gave their response, and the disciples would say, some would say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. All would agree that he was a man. But Peter, speaking as a representative of the disciples, would give the correct answer and say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Of course, Christ, the Son of the living God, the name Christ is a title and not a last name. And you may say, well, duh. Well, that's not something that I've always known. I used to think that Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, was his last name. I didn't know any otherwise. I had to be taught otherwise. And It's a title of an office. It's a position. It'd be like the name President Obama. It's the name of the office. And so Christ, which refers to the Anointed One in the Old Testament, the Messiah, the Christ who was God's promised seed. Remember in the promised seed that was promised in Genesis, that the seed that would come that would crush Satan's head, the seed that would be bruised by the serpent. This is the Christ, God's promised one, the, you could say, the King of the Jews. In the Old Testament, it refers to the Christ as being the Son of God. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord has said unto me, this is speaking of the Anointed One, is, Thou art my Son, today I have begotten Thee. The Christ being God's Son. Jesus would ask the Pharisees, and in Matthew 22, whose son is the Christ? Remember, in Matthew 22, he's speaking to the Pharisees. Matthew 22, verse 42. Jesus said to them, what do you think of the Christ? Jesus was referring to himself, but asking them, what do you think of the Christ? Because the religious leaders, they didn't believe that he was the Anointed One. And it, if they did, they would have, some of the Jews believed, of course, that he was the Anointed One, that they found the Messiah. But the rich religious leaders would not believe him. But Jesus goes to them and says, what do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he? Whose son is he? They would say, the son of David. So they said he was the son of David. But then Jesus responds saying, not only was he the son of David, which he was, which is true, he was descended of David, but also he was the son of God. Because Jesus points out to them, remember in Psalm 110, Jesus said, in Psalm 110, David, inspired by the Spirit of God, would say, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And so if it's David's son, then David would not be calling his son Lord. So Jesus is saying, David's son would be, there'd be a godson. God's son would come, would be also be David's son. It's also very clear in the New Testament that Jesus himself claimed to be the Son of God and thus equal with God. Remember, that is the only reason why he was actually condemned to death. That was the only accusation they could say, they could prove against them, was that he claimed to be God, and that was considered blasphemy in the Jewish law, to rob God's glory and claim yourself to be God. But there's no question that Jesus claimed to be God. In Matthew 26, verse 63, Jesus is on trial, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, tell us whether you be the Christ, the Son of God. Tell us plainly if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said unto them, you have said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. This is emphatic. Jesus is saying, yes, I am. And you will see him coming on the clouds of heaven, that this is the Son of Man who will receive God's universal reign. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, "Has he spoken blasphemy? What further have we of witnesses? Now you have heard of this blasphemy." And of course, the accusation written above him as he was on the cross: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." They could not accept that God became a man. In their thinking, God could not become a man. They were blinded to the fact. Were they right? Was he just a man? His works would speak to back up his claim to be of God. Of course, the Lord Jesus forgave sins. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. Remember the story of in Mark 2 where Jesus was healing all that would come to him. And he was in a house and there was no room in the house, but they opened up the roof and their friends lowered the lame man, one that had sick of the palsy. He was a lame man, and remember that Jesus would say, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee," and only God can forgive sins. And so the religious leaders would say, certain of the scribes, "What does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" So Jesus is saying, "Your sins be forgiven. Therefore, I have power to forgive sins. And I am God manifest in the flesh." Which is easier to say? Thy sins be forgiven, or rise, take up your bed and walk? Which would you say is easier to say? Of course, what I would say, which is easier to say, is it would be easier for me to say to you, "Thy sins be forgiven," rather than if you were sick of the palsy, rather than for me to say, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Because if I was to say to you, "Rise, take up your bed and walk," then obviously everyone would know that I'm false because I don't have the power to make anyone better. I don't have the power to raise them up. So it'd be easier for me to say, "Thy sins be forgiven," because who knows if I have the power to forgive sins? You don't know. But which was easier for the Lord to say? It was easier for the Lord to say, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Because what did the Lord have to do in order to forgive your sin? It was easier for him, it was easier for the Lord Jesus to raise a sick man that was lame from birth to full health than to forgive his sins. Why? Because of course he was thinking about the cross where he would bear God's wrath and God's judgment for your sin and mine. It was easier for him to heal a lame man than to say, "Thy sins be forgiven," because he would have to go through the cross. Of course, the religious leaders would claim his power of working miracles and wonders to be attributed to the devil. This is the power of Beelzebub, but in my translation, just Josh's translation, says, Jesus said, that's stupid to think that, because Satan can't be battling against Satan. Okay? Of course, we remember on Wednesday night that this is the most important question of your life, is who Jesus Christ is. What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? This is the most important question of your life. Your most important decision you'll ever make, because our life is like a vapor and your eternity depends on what you do with the Lord Jesus. Where you will spend eternity, will you go to heaven? Will you be with God, resurrection of life? Or will you go to hell, resurrection of damnation? what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ right now in your body on this earth determines where you'll end up. And there's no middle ground. There's no purgatory. After you die, there's no working your way to be with God after you die. You must make your decision now. Today is the day of salvation. You either love God or you hate God. To know Him is to love Him. To know Him is to have eternal life. Jesus said in John 17, verse 3, John 17, verse 3, "And this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent." Do you want eternal life with God? This is eternal life that was going to be, it's perfect. This is no sickness, no sorrow, no hurt, no evil. All sin has been removed. You know, I don't want eternal life in this world the way it is. I don't. I'm looking forward to all sin being removed. And this is, so much in the world is, I can't tell you how many movies I've seen, definitely a few of people, it's all based upon the fact they want that fountain of youth. They want to stay young forever and ever. They want that eternal life. And this is not some fantasy, but the Lord Jesus Christ is offering you eternal life. This is everlasting life with no sickness. And this is beautiful, and God is going to surprise us forever and ever because He's infinite and eternal. And there's no boredom, and it's going to be amazing. And this is for you. I'm going to talk a little bit about, before we go into Colossians a little bit. This is a point that, in Colossians it talks about increasing in the knowledge of God. We want to know God more. And this is not a God that is of our own understanding. This is the one true God revealed in Scripture, the only God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to increase in that knowledge. And I remember one day I learned that Jesus Christ is Yahweh. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. And I remember thinking that was a big step for me to come to that understanding. And I didn't have that understanding. You don't need to be saved to have that understanding. I had a little bit of faith in the Lord Jesus that He rose again from the dead, and God started to teach me, and I was increasing in the knowledge of God, what Colossians speaks about. And so to learn that Jesus is Yahweh. Who is Yahweh? Yahweh is, of course, from the Old Testament. This is the name revealed at the burning bush when Moses would have an encounter with God, and God would say a name. And this wasn't just the generic name for God, but this was a specific name. This was the name, I am that I am. God would say, my name is I am. This is the name Jehovah or Yahweh, or in your Bible it will be all capitals, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. This is that name of God. I am that I am. What does that mean? This is the God that ever always was. This is the God that was the source of all sources. This was the uncaused cause. This was This is the God who is the source of life. He is self-existent, eternal, self-determining, creator of all things. This is a holy God. This is a righteous God. This is a just God. This is a God who hates sin, but loves the sinner. He is gracious and merciful, and he has a plan for redemption. This is a God that keeps his word. This is a God that what he says he will do. Covenant-keeping God. The Christ is God's Son and is Yahweh, Jehovah. This is the Lord, capitals. And maybe some of you are thinking, well, of course, I always knew this, but I'm not going to apologize. Couple proof texts is John the Baptist would say, prepare ye the way of the Lord. This, of course, is a statement from the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, Isaiah 40, verse 3, I'm just going to, for the sake of time, I'm just going to say a few of these verses. Isaiah 40, verse 3 says, prepare ye the way of Yahweh, Jehovah. And John the Baptist would use that name for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus also is the one that gives the Holy Spirit. And in the Old Testament, only Jehovah, Yahweh, would give the Holy Spirit. So he is, the Lord Jesus is steps into the position as Jehovah. Confessing that Jesus is Lord in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is that self-existent, eternal source of all things. And the scripture has, Romans 10, verse 11, the scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Where does that come from? Isaiah 28, verse 16. He that believes, shall not make haste or in no way be disgraced or not be ashamed. And this, of course, is referring to Yahweh. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Romans 10, Joel 2:32, whosoever shall call upon Yahweh shall be saved. Ultimately, Yahweh's triumph was ultimately hoped in a resurrection, a hope of life after death. And Isaiah 25, we read, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord Jehovah will wipe away tears from off all faces. In verse 9, and thus shall it be, Isaiah 25, verse 9, and thus shall it be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is Jehovah, and we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The Lord Jesus fulfills this prophecy in rising from the dead. We read in the New Testament, in Christ all shall be made alive. In 1 Corinthians, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's other scriptures I read about Philippians. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Jesus is Yahweh. This is huge. God manifest in the flesh. The Creator coming down and becoming a man. You know, I think about the reverence the Jewish people had for the name Yahweh. And they didn't pronounce that name. They just, I don't know all of the, I know that they had it was a holy name, and I heard that they didn't pronounce the name, and so they revered that name. And I think about the Lord Jesus being Yahweh, and I think about how I ought to, and you can pray for me, revere the Lord Jesus Christ's name a lot more than I do. If he is Yahweh, and he is. I think about all the people I work with and people I come across that just say his name as a cuss word. And you know what? If people would say, like, my dad's name, even though he's not a believer, people would say that, would use my dad's name as a swear word, I wouldn't like that. But how many times have I let that slip? Like, just people would say it and I wouldn't say anything. And I'm really convicted about that. And this is holy and reverent is his name. And to use my Lord's name as a curse word, it bugs me, but I often don't say anything. And if I would just stand up for the Lord like that and pray for me, there are times where I have, but what a testimony that would be if every time I heard that name, I'd say, wait a sec, that's my Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus, and his name ought to be honored and revered. Saying in a way, in a loving way, loving as I can, but also adding the fear of God to it. So pray for me, please. I'm going to go to Colossians now. We are going to go to Colossians, please. I'm going to just talk a little bit more about the Lord Jesus Christ for the last 10 minutes. This is like a resume of the Lord Jesus here in Colossians chapter 1, who he was. Of course, this is the one true God. Again, not a God that anyone ever made up or imagined it themselves, but this is the God revealed. God revealed in the Old Testament as creator and revealed in his attributes of a holy, being just and merciful and things like that. But in the Lord Jesus, we have a new revelation of God. This is God revealed within himself. Of course, this is God in three persons. This is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus, in saving us, he opens up this whole dynamic of who God is. And what a blessing that is to know about the Father. And we read about the Father in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even forgiveness of sins. It was the Father's will that redemption would be through the Son. Even the forgiveness of sins. Do you have your sins forgiven? Is your sins, are all your sins forgiven? Every single one. Are your sins that you commit tomorrow, are they forgiven? Are they? You can know for sure your sins are forgiven. I mean, what a blessing that is. We can have forgiveness of sins through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his work. We have forgiveness of sins in the Son. You cannot be forgiven without Christ. You must have the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no forgiveness outside of him. It is not well with your soul if you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ. And without the Son, there would be no Father. Maybe that's obvious. Like, I am a father now, and praise the Lord. But I wouldn't be that father without little Vivi. And the Son, God's Son, reveals the Father. He wouldn't be the Father without the Son. And we enter. And we can't have God as our Father as well unless we share in the sonship of Christ. Like we must have to be joined with Christ as the Son to receive anything from the Father. To be joined in the Father relationship, we need Christ, God's Son. We need to be joined in the Lord Jesus in order for God to be our Father. Without Christ, God is not our Father. Only God is our Father in Christ. I have written down John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Son declares the Father. God is ever invisible. God the Father is, but God the Son reveals and is the mediator between God and man. There's one mediator, 1 Timothy would say, between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself to be a ransom. That's another Josh translation, I think, but gave himself to be a ransom, to be testified in due time. God, Christ is the mediator between God and man. Also, we notice in the verses 12 to 14, that is the Son's kingdom. Oftentimes in the Bible, it's the kingdom of God. But now, we see it's clearer defined as the Son's kingdom. This is kingdom of Christ. Which leads to verses 15 and 16. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. We notice that in verse 15, okay, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So there's two things there. He is the image of the invisible God, and he's the firstborn of every creature. In verse 16, we have this little word, for. So that explains why he is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. So we can look at it like this. He is the image of the invisible God, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. So he is the creator. He wasn't just made in God's image. Like us, we are all made, all mankind is made in God's image. But he is the image of the invisible God. He created, the Lord Jesus Christ created all things. Without him was nothing made that was made. This encourages me. It encourages me that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he created all thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. All things were created through him and for him. Why does it encourage me? Well, in Ephesians 6, it says, our struggle in this world is against the devil. Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I read that, and we don't stand a chance against our foe, the devil. We're like David going before Goliath. It's impossible for us to battle this foe, but I read that the Lord Jesus Christ, well, he created all those principalities, all those powers, all the darkness. Well, he didn't create the darkness of the world. He created everything perfect. Sorry, that kind of just slipped out there, but he created all the authority. He didn't create the darkness. He created everything perfect. Like Satan, he was perfect. He used to be, and until he sinned, until iniquity was found in him, and a third of the angels fell with him. But this, it encourages me that the Creator, the hope that we have, Christ in you, Christ by the Spirit of God in us, the hope of glory. This is the spirit of that David went in to defeat Goliath, and that in Christ we shall overcome. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm going to use some big words here. This is a quote from, God's invisible nature and absolute transcendence is seen in the Son. And in the Son, we have the full knowledge of God. He is the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created. Firstborn is not a term of birth, actual birth, the title firstborn. It's a term of inheritance, that he is the sole heir of the Father. All that the Father has is now and is given to the Son. He is the heir of the Father. And we only share in what is it from the Father's, in what is in what the Son has. The Father gave all to the Son by creating all through him. Christ owns all as creator. In verse 17, we read that he is before all things. He is eternal. He is before all things. He ever was. What does eternal plus creator equal? Eternal power. His eternal power. His eternal existence, uncaused cause. Also, verse 17, in him all things consist. So presently, not only was he ever was, but presently he holds everything together. He holds you together. He holds your life together. He holds everything together. In him all things consist. So we really see that you can't really, because he, Lord Jesus, he's the beginning and the end, and he's ever present. You can't really get around him. Many people have their mind against God, trying to, and that their mind is hostile to God when they seek to get to God without the Lord Jesus Christ. You must have him. There's no divine access without him. He holds everything together. He is the beginning and the end. You know, we could further on read in verse 18 that he is the firstborn from the dead. And not only was he the first to rise from the dead, never to die again, but he is the beginning of this new creation. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. He is the source of life. In him was life. He wants to give you new life. And we, verses 19 to 23, that all things are reconciled to God through him. And we got to continue in this faith, verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and set, not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard. So let's continue in the faith of the Son of God, who is everything to us. And of course, by the way, in all things he must have the preeminence. That in all things he has the preeminence. He has the preeminence in everything we do. He ought to. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God. God manifest in the flesh. Great is this mystery. We thank you for His eternal nature, His power. He forgave sins. We can have assurance of forgiveness of sins if we just come to Him and say, "You're the Lord. You are my Lord. You loved me and you died for me. Thank you for dying for me, and I'll live for you so that I can spend eternity with you." Father, I believe that you rose again from the dead. And I die with you, Lord. And I want to rise again with you. So, Father, we're ever grateful for the Lord Jesus. Pray you would honor him in our lives. Help us, Lord, to honor his name. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.